I hope that you have a sheet for this evening series as we continue our little study on soul winning, and in particular door knocking. Tonight we're looking at the practice of the soul winner. So just some practical helps this evening. We've looked at the presentation of the gospel, our own presentation, and now we are moving into some of the practical helps of what to do at the door. Matthew chapter 5, let's begin with a few verses in Matthew chapter number 5. Have a look at verses 14 to 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. The Lord said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need your help this evening to be encouraged and challenged and sharpened, Lord, to be faithful witnesses for thee. Lord, whether it's at the doorstep of our neighbours or whether it's with a friend or workmate during the week, we pray that you would help us, Lord, to grow in our witness. And Lord, may this lesson, Lord, be an encouragement. May you use your word to help us, dear Lord, in this area of witnessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the practice of the soul winner. The Bible says that we are the light of the world and we are to shine. And that describes our testimony, our witness. What we say and what we do needs to be a living example of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And now the Lord says, "Ye are the light of the world." So we need to be encouraged in our testimony, in our witness, to make sure that we are the ambassadors for Christ that the Lord would have us to be. Now that includes our behavior and manner at the doorstep of those whom we will visit. We will be visiting in our door knocking ministry. Tonight is just an evening of some practical help. So I hope you don't mind. We're going to be looking at some practical helps in what to do at the door. If you've never been door knocking before, let me encourage you to keep these notes. And if you're worried about going, let me encourage you that these things, in the Lord's wisdom, you just pick up as you go along. The most important thing is you're willing to go out by faith. Amen. The Lord teaches us as we go. If these things never crossed your mind, that's okay. We want to encourage each other tonight just by sharing some helpful thoughts. And the Lord already challenges us this evening to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. So others are watching. Yep. Others are watching, and we need to be careful for our testimony and make sure that we glorify the Lord which is in heaven. So there in your notes, the first blank, the soul winner's manners. The soul winner's manners. The Lord calls us to have a good testimony before the lost. Now that's a good pressure to have, amen? Sometimes we get lazy, and it's good for us to be challenged, to be convicted, that we are the light of the world. We are to represent the Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost. So when we approach someone's door, here's just some helpful thoughts, some helpful tips. Of course, the power of God is in His Word, amen? The power of God is not in these helpful tips and hints. It's in His Word, but we can also behave in a way that would honour the Lord and not unduly offend someone. Now, here in Cairns, I know the grass grows like crazy, but it's still respectful to walk on someone's path rather than on someone's lawn. And if they have a path leading up to their door, use the path. Amen? Don't just cut across the lawn because it's shorter. They might be looking out the window. And remember, it's their home and you're approaching their property, their door. So these are just some things to think about as you approach someone's door. Be respectful of their home. Now, when you stand at the door, the door's going to open one way or the other. One of our neighbours across the other side of the road, she has a door that opens the opposite way. So you just never know until you get to the door which side the door opens. Whoever in your pairing is going to speak, whoever's going to do the talking, they should be standing on the right side of where the door opens, so that when that door opens, the person inside sees them first and can say, "Hello, how are you? Good morning. We're from Coastline Baptist Church. We're just visiting in the area, handing out some invitations. Do you mind if I hand one to you?" Now, if the other person has agreed to be the silent partner at the door at that point, and the door opens for them, well, they're just going to stand there and stare. So just some wisdom in approaching the door. Make sure you're standing on the right side. And you know, we need to just be mindful of what we're doing. We need to be ready. We need to ask the Lord for wisdom. You know, as you walk down the garden path, don't get distracted by the garden gnomes, you know, or whatever you see around you. Now, we're tempted, because we get nervous in witnessing, to look for a distraction. Maybe talk with the person you're with, going door knocking, "Oh, look, those are nice garden gnomes," or "That's a nice tree." And, you know, we think we need a distraction. And often that's what we do. We get talking and then we get distracted when we end up at the door. If you are nervous like I am, and you're tempted to be fearful, what we need is not a distraction. What we need is the Lord. Amen? What do? When we're tempted, we quote a verse of Scripture. Amen? So when we're witnessing, we need to do the same. If we're worried, if we're anxious as we approach the door, we need to quote a verse of Scripture. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." That's a verse of truth we can claim by faith, that God has promised is true, and we can claim it and say, "Yes, Lord, I believe you can use me." Not because of anything that I can do, because of your willingness to work through me. So don't get distracted when you end up at the door, because you might find yourself in a conversation about garden gnomes when that person opens the door. And that's embarrassing. That's not a good testimony. And point three, be careful when approaching a home and you don't know where the front door is. Have you ever gone to someone's house and you wondered to yourself, "Where on earth is the front door?" Now, that's not a criticism. Everyone has a different kind of house. And Brother Huey, I've been to his place many a time, his front door is a sliding door. Okay? Different kind of homes, different kind of houses. If you've ever been to Brother Huey's place before, you may not walk up to the glass sliding door and look in and put your eyes up against the glass and bang on it. You might want to step back a little and knock on the door before you get to that visible point, because they might be having a meal, or they might be doing whatever their own plans are in the home. You want to be respectful. You want to be wise in how you approach someone's home. Amen? Now, we have a front door, and we've got the blessing of having some glass so we can see who's coming. But every door is different. I remember door knocking in Sydney, and I was going with someone from our church, and they were adamant that this is the front door. I said, "Brother, that looks like the back of the house." And even here in Cairns, it's the same. Some houses back onto the street. And you think to yourself, you go, "I see no letterbox." That's a tip. Look for the letterbox. Okay? And there's a gate, but I don't know if that's the front door. And anyway, he persuaded me, even though I knew it wasn't the front door. And we went in, and we couldn't see a door, but we saw a sliding door. So as you can probably guess already, we knocked on their back door, and a lady opened the door, the sliding door, to their backyard, and said, "What on earth do you think you're doing in my backyard?" And I felt so embarrassed, and I said, "I'm sorry." So I apologized, and she deserved an apology. I said, "Sorry, we thought this was the front door." And you know, we need to be wise in what we do. Try and avoid situations like that by being observant. Don't get distracted. Is this the front door or not? If in doubt, look for the letterbox. Amen? And be cautious as you approach their door. Remember, it's their property. You are approaching their home. We don't have any rights on their property. We are sent by the Lord, but we need to be respectful of someone else's property. Now, when you say hello to someone as well at the door, be have some manners when it comes to their personal space, all right? Don't launch into the door and talk to them like this, okay? That's not good manners. That's not friendly. That's not kind. That's intrusive. Amen? But sometimes we do weird things as Christians when we're nervous, don't we? And we don't realize because we're nervous. So we need to be wise, take a deep breath. When they open the door, nothing wrong with stepping forward and giving them the invitation. But when you do, take a step back. Amen? Let them hold the door open. I've been caught in some situations where I realize, hey, I'm holding the door open. This is weird. It's not even my door, you know, and I've just grabbed it and I've learned from that. Well, let them hold their own door open. If they want to chat, you know, let them hold the door open. The JWs have been marked and famous for sticking their foot in the door and not allowing that person to close the door. And we want to have a good testimony, be respectful. We're not there to pressure anyone into getting saved, amen, forcing them into joining or visiting us. So just some practical thoughts. Make sure you give a clear introduction, as we've been speaking about already, and honor their personal space. Now, if someone comes to the door in their pajamas, amen, make the conversation quick. Yeah. Ladies, if a man comes to the door wearing, he's not dressed appropriately, smile. Give them an invite, and the ladies have experienced that already, and you will, okay? Not because we live in Cairns, but because we live in 2016, and we live in a world where people have no self-respect anymore, no respect for others. So they'll answer the door in inappropriate clothing. So make the presentation quick. We're just here to give an invitation. There you go. Have a nice day. And if they invite you in, obviously that's a no-no. Never go into the house with anyone who's immodestly dressed or inappropriately dressed, and you need to avoid those situations, obviously, even if they say they're interested. Amen? So we need wisdom. Before we go out, what do? We pray. We say, Lord, please give me wisdom. Remember, we are in a spiritual warfare. The devil would love nothing more than to cause the light to be put out in the testimony of a church or in the testimony of you as a Christian or me as a Christian. So never enter a home of anyone who's immodestly attired. Now, if they're having a meal, yes, Brother Hugh.
Pastor James, doesn't that include even if they're well-dressed?
Even if they're well-dressed?
Their house at all.
Well, you know, if a lady says that she'd like to know some more, and it's during the day, and ladies are at the door, I can't see anything wrong with going in the house.
If it was a bloke,
yes.
And the ladies would come, well, they shouldn't go.
No, absolutely. So ladies, if someone says they'd like to know more, come on in, just say, well, we'll send some men. Are you happy for some men from our church? Yeah, good point, brother. Are you happy to know more? Yes. Well, are you happy for some men to come over from our church and speak to you about that? And vice versa as well. Men will be visiting men, ladies with ladies. If they say they want to know more, then that's a follow-up. You write them down and their address and their name, and we pray for them, and we'll visit them by different, males with males, ladies with ladies, obviously. But exercise wisdom. Don't get caught out because someone says, yeah, come on in. I'd like to know more. Okay, so exercising wisdom. Now, what do we do if a child answers the door? Now, this is something that you'll find more often than not in the day in which we live, again, because society's spiraling downwards. Parents leave their children at home, and you wouldn't imagine how many doors I've knocked and a 10-year-old opens the door. Mum and dad's not home. 6-year-old opens the door. Absolutely ridiculous. And mum and dad have gone out, left them at home. So what do we do in that kind of situation? Well, we need to be very careful. We need to be very careful to be quick and say, can you give this to mum and dad? Let them know this is who we are. We came by to say hello. Please give that to them. This is just an invitation. And if they're interested, they can give us a call. Thank you. And close the door. especially with teenagers, under 18. Teenagers, in their parents' eyes, and in my eyes as well, are still not adults. Sorry, teenagers. So as you approach the door of teenagers, don't take advantage of their age. Hey, they're young. Maybe they're interested. I'm going to hold them up and talk to them for half an hour because they're not an adult and they're not willing to say no. They're too shy to say no. And then the parents come home and find out about what their little daughter had to listen to for half an hour. And we thought they were interested, but the poor young girl didn't want to say no because she was too shy. She was too embarrassed. Don't take advantage of teenagers. You can let them know again who we are and say, please give it to mum and dad. We've got a youth group also happening at church. You can let them know some things about young people, but don't take advantage of their age. And I say this to say, I wish it wasn't so, but it is. We have to be very careful with children, especially as a church. We're not going to take advantage of a situation like that at door knocking. We're just going to present an invitation and walk away. Amen. That's wisdom. Amen. That's exercising wisdom. Please be very careful when speaking to children. Now, when you are conversing with someone, manners. We need to have manners. Just some good common sense. If you are wanting to preach, amen, well, come and see me, man. And we'll sit down and see if the Lord has given you that gift, and you can exercise that gift in church as the Lord leads. But we're not going to people's doorstep to preach. We're going to witness to them. We're going to find out about them. Ask questions. Make sure, and this is what I mean, don't be the only one doing the talking. Amen? Don't be the only one doing the talking. I've witnessed to someone before, to my shame, well, I was the only one doing the talking, and in the end, she said, yes, I want to pray, and she never got saved. She never got saved. All she did was listen to me for half an hour, and I never found out what her background was, where she was at, really, because I didn't ask any questions. And I learned something from that. You need to ask questions. Make sure you're not the only one doing the talking. And when they talk, don't discount what they're saying as irrelevant, and switch gears and think about what you're going to say next and stop listening to what they're saying. Because everything they say to you reveals something about their heart, something about their background. And I often switch off and I go, oh, that's irrelevant, that's not important. I think, Lord, please help me to know what to say next. And I'm not even listening to what they're saying. Even at the beginning, when you introduce yourself, keep an ear out for what their name is when they say their name. And I say, oh, hi, nice to meet you, John. Repeat it again. That helps us to remember their name. But these are just some manners. Amen? Some manners at the door. Just some wisdom. Now, if you need to write down their address, their follow-up, they've said, yes, I'd like to someone to come back to talk to us, make sure you walk away from their home, out of their sight, and stop and write down their address there. Please don't stand in front of their home looking at their letterbox, writing down the address, because they might be looking out the window going, you know, that looks a little bit weird, and you know, I'm not really comfortable with this idea of someone writing down my address. Now, we know we need to write it down, but it doesn't have to be in front of their home. Amen. You don't have to come, you know, meet up with the next pair across the other road and say, guess what, we got a contact in front of their house. You know, sometimes we do that. I've done that before. And again, we learn from our mistakes. The Lord helps us in wisdom. If you need to make a phone call, please, please, please do it after. Don't do it at the door. Devil wants to create distractions. Please put your phone at least on silent, if not turn it off. And if you need to make an urgent phone call, move away from the house and take a phone call away from any doorsteps. So just some manners. Just exercising wisdom in our approach. Now, when it comes to dogs, every house here in Cairns has a dog, it seems. Not every house. Many of them. And just exercise wisdom. Some of them put an attack dog sign on the front gate, but really it's just a little pooch behind the fence. And obviously, just exercise wisdom. Don't feel guilty if you can't go into a home or access their property because there's a dog. Please just put the invitation in a letterbox, okay? You don't have to be like Daniel and say, well, Daniel didn't get eaten by the lion, so I can go into this property and I'll be fine. You know, some people have attack dogs for a reason. They don't want anyone coming uncalled on. They don't want anyone coming who they don't know about. So that's their choice, okay? They can live with that. So then we put an invitation in the letterbox. Now, if a dog does come up to the fence and starts barking, here's a tip, wait there a few minutes. Oftentimes that gets the owner's attention, and they come out and you can hand them the invitation. But just be aware of the environment that you're approaching and be respectful and use common sense in your manners. Now, the Lord will teach you more things as you go out, the more and more. But these are just some practical helps to be respectful. Now, quickly there in your notes, the soul winner's words. So your blank is the word words. The soul winner's words. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Exercise wisdom in the words that you use. Now in generations past, many more people had read the Bible than they have today. Many more people had gone to church, respected Sunday as a day of worship, even grew up with some kind of religious background. But today we live in a completely godless generation. We live in a texting generation, where biblical terms are no longer used. In fact, English words are no longer used. So we need to be careful in how we use our words. So, be wise in the use of your words. Don't assume that they understand what you know as a Christian. As you go to people's doors, I wouldn't say, look, we're going soul winning this afternoon. Can I give you an invitation? That will just confuse them, sound strange to them. You know, it's obviously better to say we're going visiting this afternoon. We're just out visiting our neighbours. How are you? You know, use words wisely. And by the way, in saying this, I'm not saying we water down the Word of God. We're not going to change God's Word. But in asking someone about their spiritual condition, you know, if you say to someone, you know, have you been saved? They probably have no idea what you're talking about. And if they do, they might have a different idea about it altogether. If you died today, do you know where you will go? Do you know where you will spend eternity? Ask them in a simpler way, in a clearer way. Try not to use words that we've come to be familiar with. And as you get further along in a conversation, you'll be able to show them the Word of God. If you speak about being born again, you need to explain what that means. The wages of sin is death. What does the word wages mean? And you've got to explain it. Explain the Word of God and be clear with your words. So this is some wisdom in our practical witnessing. Be careful to remember that they don't understand what we have become used to. We know what it means to be born again. Amen? To be saved. To be regenerated. Amen? Redeemed, justified. Big words. Big words. So let me encourage you to approach someone at the door as if they've never heard the gospel before. Present it simply, clearly. Christ died, was buried, he rose again from the dead to pay for our sins so that we may be forgiven and have eternal life. Keep the gospel simple. So just remember the difference between someone who's been saved for a while, someone who hasn't, someone who's never been to church, and obviously the best way to find out where they're at is to ask questions. Now you might find someone who is interested and they have an accent. If you do all the talking, you might not even realize they can't even speak English properly. Yes, would you like to know more? Yes, you know, have you been to church before? Sometimes, you know, and they've got an accent. And you think, well, they can understand me, but maybe they're not comprehending what I'm saying. Ask questions. Ask questions. And let them answer and let them have time to speak. Because if their language ability is not as such that they understand you, you might be able to come back with some material in their language and visit them again and say, look, do you mind if I come back another time? And I'll bring some things that we can look at in your language. Where do you come from? And ask them about how long they've been here. But just exercise wisdom in speaking to people and the way we use our words, and just rely on the Holy Spirit of God to give us the words to speak. The Spirit of God lives within us. He is our helper. He gives us the boldness to witness, but He also gives us the wisdom to say the right words. Lastly, the soul winner's partner. The soul winner's partner. As we go out to the door in our door knocking ministries, we don't go by ourselves. Now, if you're going by yourself door knocking, you're setting yourself up for a fall, okay? You're going to head into trouble. We've already spoken about the issue of immodesty, someone opening the door immodestly attired, and the devil would love nothing more than to ruin the testimony of a church or a Christian. And so, for the sake of accountability, we go out two by two. Now, that was the Lord's wisdom in Mark chapter 6, verse 7, and He called unto Him the 12, and He began to send them forth by twos. It's not only biblical, but it's practical. So we can, as you and another person go to a door, you keep each other accountable. There's another witness there to everything that takes place. Not just you against that person if they make an accusation. And I tell you what, you would be shocked to know how the devil has caused slander against Christians because of someone who's behind the door and they're ungodly. They're wicked, that men, that's what the Bible says, the Apostle Paul says, pray for me, for protection against wicked men that know not the gospel, who are out to attack me and to ruin me, to ruin my testimony. And they're out there. They're out there. Wicked women who answer the door. And we need to make sure that we go out two by two for accountability's sake. Unit managers that claim that you broke in to the building. No, the door was open. There was a wedge there. Someone may have been moving at the time. Who knows what? Or someone left the door open and the door was open and you've got someone with you. That's accountable. That's accountability for our testimony's sake. Now, they also provide encouragement. Going out by twos is an encouraging thing. Because if someone slams a door in your face and swears at you, you've got someone next to you. Ladies, you've got another lady. Men, you've got another man to encourage you and to say, hey, let's go to the next door. Why don't I speak next time? And you take it in turns and you encourage each other in the Lord. You lift each other up. Amen? That is the blessing of going together. You can rejoice in the victories. You can encourage each other in the defeats. But a soul-winning partner is more than just a partner. They're a friend. Amen? And you get to know each other better as Christians, and it's a wonderful blessing to witness together for the Lord. They also provide a challenge. Amen? A challenge. If you don't turn up, then where's their partner as we go out door knocking? So it's good for us. It's good for us to have someone to go with so that we can hold each other accountable, but also encourage each other to turn up. And that's not only for their benefit, but for ours also. Now, quickly, and I know we've gone a little over time, but I just want to finish this practical lesson up. Leadership is important at the door. So two people turn up at the door. You need to make a decision before you get to the door who will do the talking. One person needs to lead. The other one needs to listen. If both want to dominate the conversation, it's going to end up a big mess. And I've learned that from experience. Okay? You need to decide before you get to the door who does the talking. And it doesn't always need to be the most experienced person. Maybe at the beginning, the most experienced person talks for the first few times you go out. But if you're going to grow in your witness, I would encourage you to take turns. Who speaks at the door? Who gives the introduction? Now, of course, every door is different. You might come to a door where someone has a Catholic background and say, I'm going with someone who doesn't have a Catholic background, and they give the introduction. There's an open opportunity for me to say, hey, I grew up as a Catholic myself. And, you know, you exercise wisdom in your partnership. That's understood. Where there's an opportunity to relate to someone, perhaps from a different nationality or a different work background, that's the blessing of going in twos as well. And then that person can talk and relate to them and speak to them. But there needs to be one person that is that you've decided on who will be doing the speaking. And if you're not doing the speaking, don't get distracted and lose interest in the conversation. The most valuable asset at the door is the partner's prayers. Amen? Because while you're witnessing to someone, your partner can be praying. You're talking to a lost person, but that partner of yours is talking to God. Amen? Lord, please open their heart. Lord, please give James wisdom. He needs it. To say something from your word that would be a seed of truth that would fall on good ground. Lord, please protect us from distractions. There might be a phone call that takes place in the back of the house, and Lord, please help the phone to stop ringing. There might be a dog that comes, and you as a partner, and the other person's talking, you might kneel down and pet the dog where it's appropriate, you know, just to stop that dog from being a distraction to the conversation. A child may come out, and again, where appropriate, you can say, hello, how are you? And maybe catch the attention of the child. They might have a toy and say, look at my toy. And you might say, oh, that's nice, you know, quietly, just to keep the main conversation from being derailed. So your soul-winning partner is very valuable, important to help at the door and to protect from distractions, and most of all to spiritually strengthen their soul-winning partner in prayer. At the end of the day, we are in a spiritual warfare. We need God's wisdom, don't we? These have just been a few practical thoughts, but don't let these thoughts overwhelm you and say, wow, you know, I never would have thought of those things, or I'm just going to embarrass myself if I go, therefore I'm not going to go. Amen? These are just some helps, just some upfront helps to encourage us, but the main thing is that we go. Amen? That's why the Lord said, go. That's why He said, go. He didn't say, bring them in. When the Lord said, bring them in, He was talking about bring them to the marriage. Amen? Not to the church. Good to invite people to church. Praise the Lord, but we are to go. Amen? We are to go. Why are churches getting derailed? Because they're redesigning the church to attract the crowd. The church was never meant to attract the crowd. We were to always go out. That's New Testament Christianity. We are to go out to their door. And you know I believe in inviting people to church, but I hope you understand what I mean. We are to go out. We are to meet them where they are. We are to share the gospel with them, to go to where they are. And that's part of what the door knocking ministry is about. Just another arm in our witness from Coastline Baptist Church. So let me encourage you to step out by faith this year. We'll be establishing some set times for door knocking during the week. Let me encourage you, keep these notes, have a review of them, but most of all, be willing to step out by faith. And it's certainly an adventure to go out. Every door is different. Amen. Sister Deidre, Sister Colleen, we'll encourage you as well in that. It's an adventure. And once you get going, amen, you'll be excited to keep going. But sometimes that initial step of faith, and we'll talk about that in time to come, that initial step of faith, we just need to step out and trust the Lord. Amen.